Thanks again to Ken Hayward from the Grand Hotel. They are one of the sponsors, too, by the way, of the race. The 95th consecutive Bell's Beer Bayview Mackinac race. And they're very proud of that fact that there's been no interruption in the race, which was conceived here in Port Huron at the old Harrington Inn many years ago. Ted Everingham tells me the story about that. And they brought 12 boats out that summer, did the first race, and they've done 95 straight. And for the past, 8 or 9 years, Bell's Beer has been a big part of it. And a big part of the Blue Water Fest and all the race festivities is the Bell's Oasis tent. And Melissa DeCoff from Bell's Beer joins us now. And I know you've been on earlier in the day, Melissa, and that's how I know you've got Alex Shire tonight and Big Papa.
Yes.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're down here. A couple people are walking around right now. There's a nice breeze coming off the river. Getting ready.
Where are you guys located for folks that want to come out tonight?
We're located right on the river. We're close to the pavilion that has the official race merchandise and just past the second bridge near the community college.
All right, I know exactly where you are at, and I know exactly what you'll be serving tonight. Tell me about this new beer that everybody is raving about.
Oh, the new beer. This is our new Hazy IPA official. This has been a great addition to the Bell's lineup. We started playing with the Hazy IPA profile about a year and a half ago and really perfected the recipe and brought it out in cans and bottles this last February.
Now, how I know something is good is how a person talks about it. So I'm going to assume you've tried the product.
Yes, I've tried it only a couple times.
Only a couple of times.
Maybe a couple more.
How good is it? Come on, how good is it?
It's delicious. It's so easy to drink. It's got a really approachable flavor profile. So folks that aren't sure if they really are into IPAs or hoppy beers, there's not a lot of bitterness, just a nice soft touch of the bitter. Really juicy hot flavors coming through with fruity flavors in tandem with that. It's so good. I've honestly been cheating on Too Hearted a little bit with it.
All right, and then of course we've got the old Bell's standards. You do have available.
We have our summer seasonal Oberon, which is always great on a hot day like today. Too Hearted for those that are the IPA lovers. Which was recently just named the number one beer in America for the third year in a row by the American Homebrewers Association. And then one of my personal favorites, our Lager of the Lakes, which is a traditional Czech Pilsner. Really nice, crisp bitterness going with some nice biscuit malt flavors and really refreshing again on a hot day like today.
Now, is Larry Bell in town and is he going to sail this year? Because I know he likes to sail in the race.
He does love to sail. This year, though, he's taken a year off of sailing the race. He's couldn't make it to Port Huron this year, but he is going to make it up to the island for the second portion of the race. I believe right now he might be up in the Upper Peninsula at his home up there enjoying some upper hand beer.
I don't blame him at all. he'll have a lot of fun at the island because you guys throw a pretty good party there, too.
Yes, we do. It's a big, big party on the lawn of the Grand Hotel. Lots of beer flowing, lots of great giveaways, and some really awesome music from Endless Summer.
All right, are you guys opened up right now, or what time can people start coming by and visiting you?
We are almost opened up. We're about rocking and rolling. Kegs are hooked up. I'd say that folks can start showing up anytime. We'll be here to party with them.
All right, good stuff. And what time does Alex Shire and the music start?
Music starts at 5 o'clock. Off with Alex Shire, and then 7 o'clock will be the Revivers, and then the headliner, the Big Papa and the Machine, are going to be kicking things off at 9 p.m. tonight.
All right. I hope to hear you rocking from where I'm at. So,
yeah,
you guys
too.
Have yourselves some fun, Melissa.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, there's Melissa DeCoff from Bell's Beer. They've got the Bell's Oasis tent. Yeah, they're just right on the Black River between the 7th Street and the 10th Street bridges you go down. They're not quite to the Harbor Master If you're coming from 7th Street towards 10th, if you're coming from 10th, you're going to have to pass the Harbor Master to get to where the Bell's Oasis tent is. But they'll be having a good time all evening long, you can rest assured. One thing you can also rest assured is that the sailors won't be out partying tonight because they've got to get up early tomorrow and get ready for the race. So you'll have to do the partying for them, all right, because they don't party till they get to the island and the race is over. About 200, at last count, I saw 201 boats registered for the race, 21 of them from our own Port Huron Yacht Club, which brought home six burgees. And if you don't know the lingo, the burgees are the pennants that you receive. You get one for finishing first, second, or third. And last year in the race, Port Huron Yacht Club had two first-place boats, and one that finished in, or excuse me, three second-place finishers and one third-place finisher. But one of the boats that does well every year. In fact, they've been in the race, I think, the last 26 years. They've brought home 22 different flags, including eight for first place, and that's the boat Chippewa. But Pam Wall won't be sailing Chippewa this year because of her obligations to Port Huron Yacht Club as Vice Commodore. She's in charge of throwing their party tonight. And with everything that was entailed in that, she really didn't think she could get her boat and her crew whipped into shape in time for the race or spend enough time on it. So she's going to sail on a different boat this year in the race for the first time in over a quarter century. But Rowdy will be back in the race this year from Port Huron Yacht Club, and they will try to defend their championship in the level racing class for the J and T-35s. Rowdy's, I think, the last T-35 left in that group. The rest of them are J-35s. There's a slight difference in the model, but they don't worry about it. The boats are all 35 feet long, so they're basically the same kind of boats, and they just race against each other, and it's the first one to the finish line wins, and their handicap rating only equates to the rest of the fleet and the overall standings because, again, it's not just one race, because I always get asked that, especially in the years when we've been up at the island. People always walk by, who won the race or who's winning the race? Well, that's an impossible question to answer because the race isn't over until all the boats are in and all the times have been calculated and all the times corrected, and number one. And number two is there's 20 different class races going on, so there's 20 different winners there. There's two different courses, so there's a first overall for each course, so that's two more winners. And then there's an overall winner, so there's a 23rd winner. Plus, you also have first to the island honors, which we all are just assuming this year the boat Whitehawk is going to get that. That's a 105-foot yacht. It was the first boat to finish the Chicago race, but it did not win the Chicago race. In fact, it did not even win its class. It ended up finishing third in its class because it is such a big boat and it is so fast. It gives so much time to the other boats in the fleet. So that's how they can get there first but not actually win. They actually finished in third place in their class. But Whitehawk most likely will get first to finish honors, but they don't necessarily win the race because of that. And there isn't just one winner. There's, as I say, 23 different winners of the race. So I hope that helps you out a little bit if you're kind of new to things. And if you've been around for a while and you knew all that stuff already, then I'm sorry to have wasted your time with that lengthy explanation. But that's kind of what I do here on this program. I try to help out the people who aren't familiar with some of the things that go on in terms of this event. So when we say our race coverage starts at 11 tomorrow morning here on WPHM with Paul Miller out at the start line with Bayview's Ted Everingham, and they are literally, the boat that they are on is part of the starting line. That the rest of the fleet has to cross between two boats to officially start the race. And Paul will be on one end of the line to help us out with the starts. I'll be in the studio. For 13 years, I went out to the start boat. And this year is actually my 25th year covering the race. So I guess if they gave it to the media, I would be an old goat They don't, though, so I guess technically I'm not an old goat. But this is my 25th year. For the first 13, I went out to the start line and did that aspect of it. And then I thought, well, it's good time to let some other people do that and get that experience, and I'll go back in the studio. And I picked a good year this year to be back in the studio because I think we're going to need the air conditioning again tomorrow. We're outside today. Next to the Bolodrome and the Zebra Bar and the Quay Street lot. And it's a little bit warm. It's a little bit muggy. The one saving grace is we do have a fairly steady breeze going right now. And that it's ruffling my papers, I don't mind all that much. The fact, though, that we've got a breeze at all is a little bit of a saving grace. Bill Harrington from the Detroit Sports Broadcasters Association will join us during the 4 o'clock hour, as will Jacqueline Stradikak, who's with Tito's Vodka. I've noticed something in all my years covering this race. A lot of alcohol sponsors. A lot of them. We'll talk to them during the 4 o'clock hour. And during the 5 o'clock hour, we're hoping to run into Bob Nutter, who is this year's race chair. And Bob's an interesting guy because he has raced in 33 consecutive Mackinac races but is taking this year off. So it's been more than three decades since Bob Nutter has been on dry land for a Mackinac race. And he will beat the boats to the island this year because he'll be driving up there on Saturday after the starts to get the finish line set up off the shores down at the Grand Hotel end of the island. But Bob has done, he's an old goat in the Bayview race, having done 33-plus, and he's an old goat in the Chicago race. He's done over 25 Chicago to Mackinac races, too. So this is a very experienced sailor who's in charge of the event this year as the race chair, and Bob will be the first to tell you that he couldn't do it without all the volunteers that they have. And they have over 100 people, and nobody's on the payroll. These people do it because they just like to be involved in the event. They just like to help out, and without them, you couldn't have an event like this. Bob will be the first to tell you that without all the folks, and many of them aren't even members of Bayview Yacht Club. A lot of volunteers from Port Huron Yacht Club help out, and from all the other varying yacht clubs and people who are husbands or wives of crew members on boats who just they're going to be there anyway, so they want to get involved and help out with an event like this. So we'll talk with Bob Nutter, and he'll tell us more about what it takes to do a Bell's Beer Bayview Mackinac race, this being the 95th, so they're just five races away from celebrating number 100 as in terms of this event, which, again, started right here in Port Huron, at least the idea for it. Bayview had come up. They'd done a regatta towards the end of a summer in 1921, I believe it was. And they were sitting around the old Harrington Inn at that time having a dinner after this regatta that they had run. And somebody said, you know, it'd be fun to come up here every year and do a long-distance race. We could start it here in Port Huron, and we could go all the way up, say, to Mackinac Island. And people said, yeah, that's a good idea. And the next year they came up and they did it. They did it with 12 boats. The boat that won was called Bernita. 2 years later, Bernita won the race again. So Bernita won two of the first three Mackinac races. And then the boat was found decades later by the De Klerk family, and they refurbished it. They put this old boat that won two of the first three Mackinac races, including the very first one, back together, modernized it a little bit, but didn't change the boat all that much. Just enough to make it safe and get it kind of up to date. And they came back in 2012, and wouldn't you know it, they won their class. So a boat that won in 1922, and then again, I believe, in 1924 or 25, and then again in 2012. Bernita is now over on the west side of the state in a museum. It still sails. They still take it out and take people out on the boat that was the first to ever win a Mackinac race 95 years ago. So there's a little more race history for you. All right, going to take a quick break here. We've got plenty more coming on the Dennis Stuckey Show this afternoon as we broadcast Dockside today. And we're here until 6 o'clock this evening. Don't forget, we've got Tiger Baseball coming up for you as well later on. 6:45 is the pregame tonight. The Blue Jays are in Detroit to take on our gutty-gritty Tigers. And we'll talk more about that as the show continues as well. We'll be back.